So how often do you hear people say things like, oh, well, the teachings of Jesus, everything he taught, that was, it's all new. Never taught before by anybody ever before in this life or ever. Like, all the information he taught was brand new, it's all new doctrine, and you haven't heard anything like it before. Jesus, without a doubt, did teach the greatest knowledge in this world that we could ever possibly know. No doubt about that. But this idea of, or thought of, his teachings never being taught before, is that true? Many, as I said, think, yes, oh yeah, he's everything we hear from him and his disciples, we never heard it before. But I say, no. No, that's not the case. And that's what we're going to do in this sermon, actually. We're going to a great section of what Christ taught actually was already taught before in Scripture, before Jesus' teaching, and which in the section of the Bible which we now call the Old Testament. A lot of people like to discredit or say, oh, you don't need the Old Testament anymore. It's kind of a little personal pet peeve of mine. So that's why I'm doing a message on it. But for the title today, you can entitle it Christ's Teachings in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19. That's what we're going to focus on today. Just one section of the Old Testament. So we'll find out from that section, too, that that whole chapter covers almost everything that Christ taught in one way, shape, or form. This is going to be an expository sermon. As Mr. Lambert always says, there's two sermons, topical and expository. Well, this one's going to be an expository sermon. It may you may be surprised at how familiar sounding some of the commandments and teachings are within that chapter. So if you want, you could start turning over there to Leviticus 19. There myself, and I will say we're going to be flipping back and forth a lot, but hold your place, bookmark here in Leviticus 19, because we'll be coming back to it a ton. So let's begin right in Leviticus 19, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am your God, or your God, am holy. So right off the bat, those first two verses is right in the New Testament. In fact, quoted in the New Testament. So we'll go to our first New Testament scripture. You'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 15, or chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 15. And I will be mostly reading the New King James Version. Now, it's verse 15. But he, being Jesus Christ, who called you, is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And that verse right there is taken from multiple chapters in the book of Leviticus, and one being, of course, right there in Leviticus 19. So those first two verses we just read in Leviticus 19, those were kind of easy. we were able to find those right away in the New Testament. Others might be a little bit more challenging, as we will find as we read through. So let's continue in verse 3. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths, plural, Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Well, that sounds familiar, right? That's the fifth commandment, isn't it? Honor your mother and your father. And Jesus himself kind of addresses this. So we'll go to his New Testament again. Mark chapter 7, if you'll turn there. Mark chapter 7, Christ addresses the fifth commandment here to the Pharisees. And we'll start in verse 9 of chapter 7. He, being Jesus, said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you may receive from me is Corban,' and that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do." What Christ is kind of saying there is the Pharisees were just kind of not taking care of their parents at all. They just kind of said, "Here's some money." And then they just kind of threw them off to the side, and their dedication was only to God in the temple, which, yes, we do put God first. But you can't abandon your parents. And Christ was calling them out on this and saying, "You're not keeping the commandment of honoring your mother and father at all." And he called them out on it. So right there, Christ addressed it. And then Paul also addresses it too. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but fifth commandment is recited again. And he says also in it, "You keep it, your days will be prolonged with you." As it says in the commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 10, or no, 5. It was 5. Deuteronomy 5, and then Exodus 20. So, there we go. It is addressed. So now let's go back to Leviticus 19. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to address the Sabbath. Don't go there just yet. As for the Sabbath scripture that we did read in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, oh, you could find well over 30 scriptures in the New Testament about the Sabbath, which still blows everybody's mind sometimes on how the Sabbath is not even addressed by many Christians. But Mark chapter 2, verse 7 through 8, you don't have to turn there. I'll just say what it says. And he, Jesus, said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus and God the Father made the Sabbath for us. Therefore, they are the lords of it. Next one we will turn to, though, also to do with the Sabbath, is Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse 55. Luke 23, verse 55. And this is as Christ is in the tomb, mind you. And the woman who had come with him from Galilee followed after. And they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. There it says it. And this is after Christ died. And they were still keeping the Sabbath according to the commandment. So, there you go. Alright, now let's get back to Leviticus 19. We'll continue in verse 4. Do not turn to idols, nor make for yourself molded gods. I am the Lord your God. Right there, that's the first and second commandment. But the second commandment against idolatry. This, too, we could locate in several spots. 1 Corinthians. As we know, 1 Corinthians was the church that had a lot of issues that Paul had to address. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Pretty plain and simple, right? And you can scroll down to verse 20 in that same chapter, and it says why, kind of. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. That's what idolatry is. That's what you're truly worshiping. If you break the second commandment, you don't want to be worshiping Satan and the demons. And then if you want, for your information, 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, it pretty much says the same thing. And that's the very last verse in 1 John. But we will look at Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. And this is a good one. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. All of those things he just said, those are idolatry, because you're putting all those things before God. And anything you put before God is idolatry. So far, yeah, we're seeing a lot of teachings just within the first five verses we covered. And there is more. These ones are kind of easy, though, but we'll come up to some more complicated ones here soon. Speaking of which, Leviticus chapter 5, or 19, verse 5. What about this one? Let's read it. And if you sacrifice, or if you offer a sacrifice of peace, or a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it to your own free will. So, what about that one? Where's it talk about doing any kind of sacrifices anymore in the New Testament? People may kind of question that. And then verses 6 through 8 all have to do with the sacrifices. So where's that in the New Testament? Actually, there is a spot. There is a spot. It's a little different than many people might possibly think. So Romans chapter 12, you'll turn there. Jump right into the very first verse in Romans chapter 12. And it reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Our service to God says here that this is equivalent to a sacrificial offering. Not the same exact way it was done back then. We're not slaying a lamb and burning it, offering it to God. But us honoring God, keeping His commandments, singing, as we do every Sabbath service. Those are sacrifices. And it's all spiritual sacrifices that we're doing for God. So if you're trying to look for the literal, you're not going to find it. You got to look deeper, more spiritually. So now, let's get back to Leviticus. We're going to jump down to verse 9. Since verses 6 through 8 also have to do with sacrifices. Verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly weep the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Eternal, your God. What about that? Gleaning. We all have big farms, right? And gardens. And we glean our fields, right? No. This is, again, another thing where you can't look at it literally. You have to look at the context of it. And this law of gleaning is pretty much a service to the needy and the poor. And Christ and His apostles definitely taught that. One scripture you could jot down in Luke chapter 12, verse 33. I won't turn there, but Christ taught there to give alms. That basically means give to the poor and the needy. Those who need it. And another one you could jot down, this is a memory scripture, James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Service to the needy. Orphans, widows, they need help. They are amongst the needy who needs assistance. This was taught also in the New Testament, but taught here before all that. So let's get back to Leviticus again, if you didn't leave already. Leviticus 19, we're going to read verses 11 through 15. There's a lot here. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Eternal. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness, you shall judge your neighbor. That was a handful. None of that's taught in the New Testament, right? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Of course it is. So we're going to go over two verses that just about cover everything that we just read there. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 21 and read to verse 24. You therefore, who teach another, You therefore, who teach another, do you teach not yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. So there's a couple of commandments that we just went over in that little set of scriptures, all covered in Leviticus 19. And then James chapter 2 also is a good one. James chapter 2, verse 8. And we'll read to verse 13. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and do so as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That kind of just covered everything that we just read in Leviticus 19. All of it was there for all this. So far, this assumption of Christ's teachings being taught before, or never being taught before, is kind of getting slammed with contrary. It's that whole chapter. You could just find it everything. So now let's get back to Leviticus 19. Verse 16. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the wife of your neighbor. I am the Lord. The talebearer. What's that? A gossiper. We got some scriptures about gossip too in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbiting, whisperings, which that could be gossiping right there, conceits, and tumults. So yeah, backbiting and whispering. You're gossiping and you could be stabbing someone's back by talking bad about them. That's what Paul was afraid he was going to find. And if he's afraid of it, finding that, that means it's not good. None of those are good. And then, and of course you combat gossiping with encouragement, which you will find in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. We won't turn there, but you can write that down for your information. Now, as far as to not take a stand against your brother's life, didn't Christ teach these very words in John 15, verse 13? He said, "It's greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." That's the opposite of taking a stand against your neighbor for him to die. No, Christ taught the opposite. He said, no, you will lay down your life for your friends. That is the greatest, that's great love right there. Now Leviticus 19, verse 17 through 18, we'll read next. We're almost halfway there. Can you believe it? "You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people." And here's the biggest one of them all. "But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Wow. That's usually the one verse right there that people said, oh, that was never taught before. We just read it in Leviticus 19, verse 18. That was taught all the way back, even before Leviticus. This was known. It was readdressed here in Leviticus, but this knowledge was there. Probably got lost as Israel went into rebellion, but that was there well before. Now, to cover everything we just read, Christ taught us not to hate our brother when he gave the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. He said, if you hate your brother in your heart, or you say, you call him a fool, raka, all those names he threw out, says, you may as well have murdered him. Do not hate your brother in your heart. And also in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. I will turn there. 1 John. Chapter 3, verse 10. "In this, children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." Who does not love his brother? Yeah, that's hate. That is hate. And Christ taught us not to do that. And while we're here in 1 John, go over to chapter 4, we'll read verse 20. And that says, "If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen?" Powerful words. Very powerful words. Another powerful statement, too. It's also James chapter 5. Turn back there a few pages. We'll read verses 19 and 20, end of the book. "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death, and covers a multitude of sins." So if you turn your brother away, you could be endangering their life and then put you liable for judgment. But you bring them in with love, That's what God wants us to do. That's what Christ taught us to do. And of course, Matthew 22:39, you don't have to turn there, but that's where Christ says the second greatest commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, the golden rule. And that was taken from Leviticus 19. It was in existence before Christ came to earth and taught it. We'll kind of touch on a little detail here towards the end on that, though. But first, let's keep moving on. Leviticus 19:19. You shall keep my statutes. You should not let your livestock breed with one another. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall a garment with mixed linen and wool come upon you. Okay, this one's kind of confusing, right? What does this have to do with anything? Well, before we touch that, the first section of that, it said, you shall keep my statutes, aka God's commandments. That one is easy, because that one is in John 14, verse 15. You don't have to turn there off. You can write it down, and I'll read it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Plain and simple. But now, all right, the latter part of this, all that, the mixed linen and wool, the mixed seed, livestock, what's that got to do with anything? This one's a little more trickier, because there isn't an exact mention of this, of course, in the New Testament, but the context, using some context and background information, we actually will kind of be able to figure that out. And this section here of Scripture could reveal that it may be talking about deception, or fraud, or even possibly some pagan practices. And the whole mixing of the clothes and the mixed breeds, that we don't know for sure, but like one of them we could find in other scriptures where it says, don't boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Again, that's one of those things, what does that have to do with anything? That was actually a pagan practice that they did for some fertility ritual. This may very well be tied in with that practice or any of the other pagan practices. But the deception and fraud, they may have mixed livestock and spread false seeds, just like the ones you got in the mail from China, right? That's been all over social media. They could say it was, could be spreading this seed, they could be saying that, but it was mixed, and then all of a sudden you got weeds popping up. It had to do with fraud and deception. You got to be honest with what you are selling to your neighbor. That is a potential of what it could have been talking about, but we won't get any more into detail with that. Leviticus 19, verse 20. And we'll read verse 22, and we'll read verse 29, just for the sake of context. So verse 20, whoever lies carnally with a woman who is betrothed to a man as a concubine and has not been redeemed nor give freedom, for there shall be scourging, but they shall be put to death because she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Eternal, to the Lord of the, or to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, a ram as a trespass offering. The priest shall make atonement for him, with the ram of trespass offering before the Lord for his sin, which he has committed, and the sin Oh, I just read that. I apologize. Okay. Now I'll just jump down to verse 22, was it I said? 29. Verse 29. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry and the land become full of wickedness. So all of this has to be doing with idolatry. The sixth commandment, or seventh commandment, I shall say. And we can find a lot of this, of course, in 1 Corinthians. And the city of Corinth had a lot of issues with paganism and the temple that was there. A pagan temple, and they were a lot of temple prostitutes, temple harlots, is a form of worship. So Paul had to address this issue, and all of this has to do with that. And I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6, because all of it has to do with the sexual immorality that was going on. We don't have time to read all those chapters, so we'll move on. And then the forgiveness part, the offering that you offer to the Lord for forgiveness, we can find that in 1 John 1:9. I'll just read it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So that offering, coming to God for forgiveness, that's where that takes in. Alright, now Leviticus 19, verses 23 through 25. When you come into a land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruits as uncircumcised. 3 years it shall be as uncircumcised to you. It shall be eaten. But in the fourth year, all its fruits shall be holy, a praise to the Eternal. And in the fifth year, you may eat its fruits, and that it may yield to you its increase. I am the Eternal, your God. Listen to God, and He will supply your every need, which is being given to us from Jesus Christ. And Philippians 4:19 says that very thing. That's kind of the concept of that. Now, Leviticus 26, verse 26 through 31 we'll read. We're almost there. We're getting there. You shall not eat anything with blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. You shall not have shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any markings on you. I am the Eternal. And moving down to verse 29. Do not... Oh, we already read verse 29. That's right. Scroll down to verse 30. Again, we heard this earlier. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Alright, so the main theme with all these verses that we just read, the main theme, it's going to be what I'm just going to cover, is they all have to do with pagan, or really when you boil it down, satanic practices which go against God's way. In Galatians 19, verse 21, that's the chapter or section of scripture where it says the works of the flesh. Chapter 5, verse 19. There it is. I have to crack that in my note. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and just like and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in past time, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And sorceries, that kind of covered a lot of that stuff right there. Sorceries, witchcraft, all goes against it. And then for Acts chapter 15, verse 29, that is also addressed. And this is actually a big scripture that I believe the Jehovah Witnesses use. But Acts chapter 15, verse 29. That you abstain, kind of Paul speaking, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well. Farewell. All that had to do with pagan practices. Drinking blood. God says do not drink blood in the Old Testament. And it has to do with a lot of pagan practices and sexual immorality, as we heard, the temple prostitutes. All of that has to do with it. And God said to stay away from it. Now, Leviticus 19, verse 32 through 37. We're going to read to the very end. Verses 32 through 37. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God, I am the Eternal. And if a stranger dwells with you, with you in your land, and you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you, shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. Ooh, there it is again. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no injustice in judgment. We did hear that before, earlier. In measurement of length, width, or volume, you shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Eternal, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. Well, there we have it. That was the whole chapter we just read. We'll just cover real quick those verses, or some verses from the New Testament that kind of what we just read there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as brothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. Respect your elders. God commands that. Do not be disrespectful to them. And 1 Peter 2:17, I'll just read that one from the English Standard Version. He says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. That last one can be sometimes hard, can't it? If you don't like the leader in your current jurisdictions. But we got to honor them still. And verses 35 and 36, again, we already covered those. To be truthful, and not deceiving nor fraudulent, and to keep God's Sabbaths, which we already covered earlier. And finally, verse 37 from Leviticus 19, where it says to keep all my statutes and judgments. We already did kind of cover that, but I will conclude with the last scripture, or our last scripture, I'm sorry. Then I will conclude. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. The beginning. You should walk in it. So everything we just read here in Leviticus 19, everything is covered pretty much in one way, shape, or form. Maybe not directly, but in context. It's covered. And this was taught before Jesus even came to earth and preached it. Why does it sound so familiar? Well, that's because the one who was God talking in the New Old Testament was Jesus Christ. If you're watching now, later, and that's new information to you, I encourage you to investigate that, to research. You might be surprised. But Christ, God, He taught all of the information that we see in the New Testament even before. And that was just one chapter of one book in the Old Testament. That's impressive. Keep reading the Old Testament, and you may be surprised on how familiar and similar they are to the New Testament teachings taught by our Savior, Jesus Christ.